passed out. So I just really sense that the Lord wants us to just sit at the foot of the cross today. And I even just pray that there's kind of a holy reverence, a holy fear in the room, that we're going to sit at the foot of the cross and we're going to look upon his sacrifice. We're going to look upon the resurrection. We're going to walk through the story. So basically how this is going to look, we're going to alternate reading the Passion Week with responding in praise. So we're going to read certain parts of the week out of the text. We're not going to have like a giant long teaching. We're just going to read. We're going to respond in praise. We're going to read the next part of the Passion Week. We're going to respond in praise. And really, I want us to just sit at his feet and sit at the foot of the cross and reflect upon the week that was the week that changed everything. Amen? So I've got some people who are going to read, pray, do some different things. But I guess my ask is that would we just, I feel like we've become so numb to the cross. We wear it around our necks. We read about it all the time. We talk about it all the time. And I feel like we just don't fully grasp or don't reflect upon it the way that we should. We don't actually look upon the cross and its grisly nature and what he went through, and let it actually permeate our souls and impact us for what the resurrection actually meant and the sacrifice that was made. And my hope today is that the Lord just grips us with the cross and that he grips us with the resurrection. And so I would even ask, like, as when we begin, limit movement, limit conversation, limit distractions. Let's have a holy fear of the Lord in this place. If you need to scoot closer, thank you. If you need to just come up here and fix your eyes on that cross, he just gave everything. And I don't want us to leave callous today. I don't want us to leave with just another, oh, it's Easter, we have a service, and then we go do our Easter bunny thing. Like, you know, we're on holy ground today. And God became flesh, and he was beaten, and he was tortured, and he was humiliated, and he was hung up on that cross, naked for everyone to see, with his mother weeping there, with everybody deserting him, everybody that he didn't know mocking him, and the Father forsaking him. And he took it on for us. And I feel like with Scripture, we talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago, but if we just read Scripture or get our podcasts or get our spoonful every week of a teaching and we just leave it on the pages of Scripture, it's really not worth much. Because the Scriptures were meant to draw you into an experience with a holy God. And they were meant for you to experience the text in the way that you're reading. They're meant for you to experience the very thing, and that when you come in and you gather with other believers, whatever is going on, it should actually resonate in your soul that this is what Scripture is. This is what the Bible is. This is what a holy God is. And it leaps off the page, and the power of God leaps off the page, and it actually does something to you. So I feel like if we're going to read the text today, I pray that we don't just read it and hear it. I pray that we experience it, that we experience the Passion Week, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this. I sent some texts out, and I appreciate the responses because it really just set it in perspective. But when we get to the crucifixion, I'm actually going to show a 3-minute clip from the Passion of the Christ. And I want to warn you of it because if people feel like that's too much and don't want to, if there's kids in the room, you feel like it's not something, it's graphic, but it's real. And so we'll give opportunity, like you don't have to, but I just feel like we can't whitewash the crucifixion. And for us to actually experience it, we have to be gripped by the nature of what actually occurred on that cross. And I pray that it leads us to a response. So we're going to jump in, but I just feel like the Lord gave this before we do. And listen, I don't want to be rushed in here. There's a handful of things the Lord wants to do. Potentially some baptisms today at the end. But there's freedom in here to come and go. And the last thing that I want to do is feel rushed by an agenda or rushed by getting to things. So there's freedom. If you need to come and go, please come and go. But I want the Lord to move today. And if the cross is gripping people, I believe some people are going to get set free today. And they're going to come back to repentance. Okay? So here's my prayer. Here's what I wrote. We're going to go on a journey together by way of the cross. We're going to go biblically and accurately, and we're going to engage the passion narrative through the reading of Scripture, praise, prayer, and action. This is a time to remember the cross. This is a time to remember the resurrection. And this is a time to remember the outpouring of His Holy Spirit. If you come eager and expectant, then the Lord will engage you. If you come with a hardened heart, then I pray that the reflection of the cross softens it. And this is the last one I just want to say. Those are the first two categories. If you've come with a divisive spirit that's come to disrupt, bring division, sow death either inwardly or outwardly, then honestly, we just want to call it out now. We want to call you forth and cast it out in the mighty name of Jesus because it has no place in here today. Okay? And I'm not just saying this as a line. This is serious stuff. The cross is serious. The resurrection is serious. And surrender to a holy God is serious. So I pray that you come expectant and eager, and the Lord will engage you if you do that. And if your heart is hardened today, I pray that He softens it by the mighty name of Jesus. And I actually do, in all seriousness and a holy reverence, say, if you have come with a divisive spirit, not hardened, because God can soften the hardened, but one that has come to disrupt, one that has come to sow division, one that has come to be critical, one that has come to actually tear down what He's going to do here today, the cross is too big. And I would say, stand up now, and we'll just say lovingly, you have to go. And if there's a spirit in here that is that, we will cast it out in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus right now. Does that make sense? Because I'm seeing through the eternal right now, and it's like, not everybody in here is just on the right side of eternity. And there's actually good and evil, heaven and hell, good spirits and bad spirits, and actually there are ones that will disrupt, and there has no place in here today. Okay? The cross is too great. His sacrifice was too great, and it will not disrupt what He wants to do in here today. Okay? So, can I have Ralph come up? Hold on to your communion cups. We are going to take these when we read the Last Supper. So hang on to those for that time. Ralph's going to read. We're going to start with the week before. We're not going to do all the whole Passion Week, but the week before, the Thursday before, I believe it is the night in which Mary, I believe it was Mary, washes Jesus' feet. Friday. Is it Friday? So the week before His death is the scene where Mary washes Jesus' feet. So Ralph's going to kind of narrate us through. We're going to bring up, and how this is going to work. Those of you that I have given passages to, he's going to read kind of the narrative reading of it, and then like Leah, we'll bring you up and we'll read the text, And then we will respond to each one through praise, through a song that's specific to that part of the text. Does that make sense? Let's use this one. Yep.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Easter. He has risen.
Amen.
Arrival in Bethany, Friday. Jesus arrived in Bethany 6 days before the Passover to spend some time with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. On the following Tuesday evening, while Jesus was still in Bethany, Mary anointed his feet with costly perfume as an act of humility. This tender expression indicated Mary's devotion to Jesus and her willingness to serve him.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This is Mary, whose brother Lazarus lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days and then said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews were tried to stone you, but yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." And he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up."
In an upper room, Jesus prepared both himself and his disciples for his death. He gave the Passover meal a new meaning. The loaf of bread and cup of wine represented the body soon to be sacrificed and his blood soon to be shed. And so he instituted the Lord's Supper. After singing a hymn, they went to Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in agony, knowing what lay ahead of him.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions: "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." So the two disciples went into the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12. As they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me here will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked in turn, "Am I the one?" He replied, "It is one of you of the 12 who is eating from this bowl with me. For the Son of Man must die, as the Scripture declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It will be far better for that man if he had never been born." As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take it, for this is my body." And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them. They all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people." It is poured out as a sacrifice for many. And I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
Friday, crucifixion. Following betrayal, arrest, desertion, false trials, denial, condemnation, beatings, and mockery, Jesus was required to carry his cross to the place of the skull, where he was crucified with two other prisoners.
Very early in the morning, the chief priests that with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin made their plans, so they bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. "Are you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate. "You have said so," Jesus replied. The chief priests accused him of many things, so again Pilate asked him, "Are you going to answer how many things they are accusing you of?" But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the upspring. The crowd came and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with one you call the king of Jews?" Pilate asked him, "Crucify him." They shouted, "Why? What a crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into a palace and called together a whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him and twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him, falling on their knees. They paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took him off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him, and they led to crucify him. A certain man from Sion, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, the passing by on the way from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, and they did not take, and they crucified him, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning, and they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." They say the same way the chief priests, the teachers of the law, mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," and said, "But he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those who crucified him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out loud, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those stand near heard this, they say, listen, he's calling Elijah. Some ran, filled a sponge with white vinegar, put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtains of the temple were torn in two from top to bottom. And when the Samaritan who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and Joseph in Galilee. These women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. Father, we thank you. We thank you for sacrificing your life for us. Let us never forget the price that was paid for our lives. You died so we didn't have to. You were beaten and humiliated and suffered such severe pain. When you were thinking of each and every one of our faces in that moment, knowing what was to come, we thank you for that, Father. Let us never be hardened at the cross. Let it never be something easy that we can talk about. Let it always ache our hearts to know what you did for us and our lives just be shown of what you've done. Let us think in every moment that we live our lives, what price was paid for us to be here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
In the tomb. Jesus' body was placed in the tomb before 6 p.m. Friday evening, when the Sabbath began and all work stopped, and it lay in the tomb throughout the Sabbath.
Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying, and now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." Thank you, Jesus. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him. They ran to him, and they grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
The resurrection. Early in the morning, women went to the tomb and found that the stone closing the tomb's entrance had been rolled back. An angel told them Jesus was alive and gave them a message. Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene in the garden, to Peter, to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and later that day to all the disciples but Thomas.
Revelation 19, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute and corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, Hallelujah. The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, Amen, Hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of a rushing waters and loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given for her to wear. The angel said to me, Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, Don't do that. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth, a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in the midair, Come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat of the flesh of kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their elders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I heard the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the riders on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of his mouth and the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves and their flesh. Lord, I thank you that we not only get to partner in your resurrection, but also your return as the bridegroom, Lord. That you are returning for a pure and spotless bride, that we get to partake in the marriage and the wedding of the Lamb. Lord, thank you. We just thank you, Lord. Can we just thank him? Can we just thank you, Lord, that you are returning on a white horse with linen, drenched in the blood of your enemies, coming with judgment for righteousness, Lord. It's returning for Jerusalem, because you are jealous for Jerusalem. You are jealous for your people, Lord. So, Lord, we bless your name. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, we praise you. We usher in your return, Lord. And we cry, Maranatha, Lord, we return. Yes. Return, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Jesus.
is risen. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 16. When the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." In Mark 16, we know this is the Great Commission. Mark 16, 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe." Do we have any believers in here this morning?
Come on.
"These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, and they will get well." And after the Lord Jesus had spoken to him, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. He is risen, and that is absolutely amazing and why we gather. But how many of you know what's also important is our response to the fact that he has risen. And the Great Commission is just that. It's for those, he's calling those, every believer in this room today, every believer who confesses, he says the Great Commission is for you. And he declares that if we believe that these signs will accompany us. And today we're about ready to see a couple baptisms. As they go into the water, and their old selves and everything of it stays and is buried, and there's a resurrection, a new life that comes when they come out of the water in Jesus' name. And there is only one appropriate response to those who give their lives to a God who gave them everything. And that is the step and believe into the Great Commission. And this may be awkward for you, this may be confusing to you, but I'm telling you, if you're a believer, this is scripture. A command from Jesus himself. In Matthew 10, he tells his disciples, "As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." And you may be thinking here today, "I'm not called to be a pastor." It's okay. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. You may not have a microphone, and you may not be called to lead a church or even lead a Bible study. You may say, "I'm just a stay-at-home mom." That's fine. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. That's your calling. That's your Great Commission. He said, "I'm just called to be a businessman." That's okay. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Come on, man. Keep going. Come on.
Well, I'm not an evangelist. You know, I work at Walmart. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I'm unemployed. Praise the Lord. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely you have given. There's an activation that stems from the resurrection, and it's this. And that's what we're going to see today, that's what we're going to do today, and that's what I pray in Jesus' name, that as we've had an understanding of what took place on the cross and what took place when he raised from the dead and ascended into heaven, is that there will spark a response in you of not just a sideline Christianity, but that says, Lord, you have freely given to me, and Lord, I will freely give. The freedom that I've received, Lord, I will give. The freedom, the deliverance that you have given me, I will freely give, and I will freely give. So Father God, in the name of Jesus, I want you all just go ahead and stand up real quick. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that every person in here that believes, that you will bring a boldness on them to respond, Lord. That, Father God, the Great Commission is spoken to every believer in this place today that goes out and says, this is the heart of the Father as he has come to free us. The heart of the Father says, I have come through you guys to free those who are lost. And not even in the world, but those who are still lost in the church. And so, Father God, I just pray a boldness and a response over every single person here today. In Jesus' name, may our eyes be opened to the revelation, the full revelation of the cross and the full revelation of the resurrection, Father God. It's the reason we gather. It's the reason that we're here today, Lord. It's the reason that we gather and live and commune with you every single day, Father God. So, Lord, as we have received freely from you, Lord, let us freely give and honor what you've done for us by the life that we live. Let our actions and our life confirm the very confession of our lives, Lord, to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I feel like the Lord's wanting to do something. Does anybody play guitar? Could you play four chords? Can you play G? Can you play guitar? We're really polished around here, huh? I just feel like the Lord, there's multiple things I feel like the Lord wanted to respond with today, but I just feel the presence of the Lord as he was saying that. I feel like there's three things the Lord wants to do. One, he says to baptize those in the name of the Lord Jesus. So can we have, where's Daisy, you in here? You in here, Daisy? Don't be hiding. You here? Come on, Daisy. Your friend's here too, right? You getting baptized today too? She's hiding now. No? Come on. And remind me of your name again. I'm so sorry.
Elissa.
We got Daisy and Elissa, okay? Elissa's here from Minnesota, right? Daisy's friend. You know what I love is that Daisy's been chewing on baptism here for quite a while, right? And I kind of like that because she heard the baptism teaching. She understood the weight and gravity of what baptism is. And she didn't want to do it unless she knew exactly where she was with the Lord and ready to go. And ready to bury and ready to die. Amen. Daisy, come on. Daisy, you ready to die today? Come on. You ready to be resurrected? Let's go. So scripture says to baptize those in the name of the Lord Jesus. So you know what? We're going to baptize them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Sound good? So you are going to see scripture played out today. Because if we just read it and don't do anything with it, what's the point? So you're going to see scripture played out with baptism. So I'm going to release them to go get ready to be dunked. We're going to pray for them. That water's pretty cold. Just going to tell you now. So heater's broke, but that's all good. We'll shock you in the Holy Spirit. So you guys know how we do baptisms around here. We'll probably pray for them out here so they can just go in the cold water, get dunked, come back out. But you guys know our whole procedure with baptism, so we won't go through all that. We'll just do it. But if you guys want to go get ready, and then we'll pray for you out here before we baptize you, okay? Secondly, while they're doing that, I just feel a response for two things. One, as CJ was saying, like, hey, if you're a believer in here and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, then fill in the blank, right? OK, cast out demons, heal the sick, raise the dead, bring people into true repentance. Amen? So I want to do two things with that. One, I was going to make this more of like a we're all going to do this thing, because every time we say the word evangelism, all of a sudden everybody becomes intercessors, right? But we were going to have everybody go out. But man, I'm looking like we got a neighborhood all around here, right? He says, go out into the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, bring the kingdom of God to earth. And like, that's the world out there, right? So we can go out into the world. And I know how this is, though. If I say, hey, we're dismissed, go out into the world, everyone's, yay, Easter, okay. Yeah, we'll go out into the world, and then you don't actually do anything. So I want to actually challenge people in here today. Two different things I want to do. One, I just want people in here. There's no pressure. You don't have to. But I want to nudge you, okay? Like, ask the Lord for one door out here and take 10 minutes. Even while we're getting ready for baptism or baptizing, say, Lord, would you reveal to me one door out there and give me a specific word of knowledge for that door? Lord, what is it that they need to hear? And actually walk up to that door empowered by the Holy Spirit. Knock on the door. Deliver that word. Preach the good news. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Bring the kingdom of God. It got real quiet when we started talking evangelism. That's good. But seriously, like, I want you to actually pray and not like, Lord, I'm just going to hear what I want to hear. But ask the Lord, Father, would you move me out of this place for 10 minutes? Just give him 10 minutes. And if it turns into 40, turns into 40. Great, I don't care. But ask for one door, one door. Would you go out there? He says, go into the world. Go into the world and preach the kingdom of God. Would you go into this neighborhood and preach the kingdom of God? Because if revival has actually hit this place and that neighborhood doesn't know it, then it's not actually revival. Like, if a fire is burning here and the people closest to that fire don't actually feel the heat, it's probably a pretty weak fire. Amen? So I want to like send some of you out, okay? The second group is those that maybe are like, man, I don't really know that I've been equipped with power. I feel like an anointing today to like lay hands on those that are believers in here, but are like, I've never actually felt like the Holy Spirit has come upon me. I haven't received a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which comes with the giftings and power and all the things that allow you to go and preach the good news, right? And if that's you in here today and you're like, hey, I don't know if I've got the goods, so to speak. Like, I know that I'm firm in my sonship or daughtership, but I just feel powerless. I feel like the Lord's saying today, I want to equip you with dynamite power. Just like in Acts 2, when it says the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then he came upon them again, and then he filled them again, filled them afresh, not just so that we can have manifestations, but so that they could receive boldness to preach the word of God. Amen? So if that's in here, you in here today, while they're getting ready for baptisms, we'll have a few different things going on. If you need to be equipped with power today, I feel like today's the day the Lord's saying, come down front, let's fill you with power. Amen? If that's you, come on down front. Come down front. Do not be bashful. Be equipped with the power and the work of the ministry. For those of you in here that want to feel the prompting of the Lord to go out and to knock on a door, right now ask the Lord, Father, which door? Which door? Would you go before me right now? Would you go before me? Father, what does that person or family need to hear? Would you give me a specific word of knowledge? If you're going out, if you're feeling prompted, would you just raise your hands, plural? Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's right. That's right. I'll sit in awkward. That's okay. I feel like there's more. I'm not doing this out of like manipulate. I just feel like there's more. This is why I wasn't going to make it an option at first. Hey, if that's you, hands in the air, because I want to equip your hands with fire right now. Both hands, both hands, both hands up, both hands up. Hold them high. Jesus, would you light ablaze the hands and the feet of those who are going? Would you light them ablaze? Would you impress supernaturally right now exactly the words that they need to give? Not a formula, but the specific words that are lit on fire by the Holy Spirit that that person or person needs to hear right now in Jesus' name. Would you be giving them pictures, images, something, Father, that breaks through words? Because the gospel is not brought forth with words, but with action. Not simply words, but with power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we equip them right now to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy fire, would you light them ablaze? Would you light them ablaze, Jesus? The mighty name of Jesus right now. Mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. Anybody who's going out, those hands go up. Father, light them ablaze right now. I pray that their hands even begin to get warm. That their hands get hot with the Holy Spirit. That when they go knock on that door gets hit with the fire of the Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah. If that's you, just go. Don't wait for us. Just go. And then come back and testify. Just go.